Hey guys, this is Danny Herbeck with the Muskie 360 Canada Edition. We're going to do something a little different this time. I found another really great guy, arguably probably one of the best on Lake of the Woods. His name is Dave Bennett. Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Danny. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem, man. What, obviously this is your first time on this and everything. Why don't you just kind of give us a little breakdown of who you are, what you do, where you fish, kind of all that so people can get an understanding.
For sure. Yeah. So my name is Dave Bennett and I own my own guide business out of Kenora, Ontario, up at the north end of Lake of the Woods. DaveBennettOutdoors.com is my website. People can look me up there and see what we've got going on. And I am a multi-species guide and tournament angler, and with a real passion for both bass and muskies, of course. So I like to kind of block my time out through the year where I'm doing one, then the other, and then now of course we're getting into the fall season here, and muskies are a high priority.
Yeah, it's let's face it, up here, you know, in this neck of the woods, if you're not a multi-species guy as a guide, you're gonna be living pretty lean come winter time. It's just such a short season for musky fishing, right? So you got to fill in the voids with the other stuff. And like I've talked before, and I'm sure you see the same thing, being a multi-species guy is actually, I feel, very beneficial because it kind of clues you into what the muskies are doing. You may not be musky fishing that day, but while you're walleye fishing or bass fishing, you get a pretty good feel for what the muskies are doing on a daily basis.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, just time on the water, right? And if you're out there and you're actively doing it and you're watching, you're paying attention to what's going on, you see the walleyes, they're moving up, they're moving down. You're fishing for bass, you're in the weeds, you're in the rocks, in your spot, and like you'll see muskies all the time, right? So it all goes hand in hand. It's not necessarily that I know I'm going to catch this muskie here on this lure, but you get an overall feel for what the lake is doing, and just keep your finger on the pulse of things at all times. And being a multi-species angler helps do that. So
yeah, for sure. What have you been seeing on Lake of the Woods? I know we're getting into the time of year where you're getting a lot of green, and is that kind of a thing yet, or have you been able to avoid it? What are the fish doing? What have you been throwing? Give me a little breakdown real quick.
Sure. So the algae bloom is in full swing on the lake. It from the south all the way up through the Big Narrows, Tranquil Channel areas, and starting to push up into the north section of the lake. If you run far enough to the east, you're still going to be in some real clear water. Everything to the the whole south and west portions of the lake are now getting pretty greened up. Eventually, here's what I've always found with the green water. You either want to be on one side of it or the other. When I say that, it's you want to go where it's not yet hit, or you want to get to where it's been for a period of time. It seems to me that where it's coming to, and that when it first greens up in an area, it gets awfully tough in that area for a while. Once that algae is there and it's been there for a while, well, the fish have no choice. They got to eat. They settle back in and start going about their business again. That's how I've always dealt with it. Either try and stay in the clear, or you get to where it's been green for head further south, and get to where it's been green for weeks already, and the fish are active in that area.
So. Yeah, it's my time on Lake of the Woods is very, very limited to a few days a year during that, the Muskie Cup, which you fish, and you've won as well. We're both one-time winners. We can't seem to put it together to win it twice. But I have a very hard time understanding where it moves, how it moves, and I have learned basically myself to try and avoid it like the plague. But what you said is very interesting to me, and I guess without knowing where it's been for, an extended amount of time, those fish do have to set back up and they do have to resume a normal lifestyle eventually, or they're spending, massive amount of time traveling, which I'm sure some fish do on that system, but a lot of fish are going to stay, right? So, it's really hard for me to understand where and how it moves around. I mean, it seems like the wind blows it around, but then there's also a lot of current that pushes it around too. And yeah, it's a frustrating deal on Lake of the Woods to deal with for guys that are heading up or will be heading up. From my limited knowledge, I can say if you can find clear water, run to it. That's my best advice anyway.
Yeah, I mean that is true at times. I mean, and if you can get to clear water and that's what you're confident with, then absolutely should do that. But I know, like, I'm thinking back to right about this same time last year, I decided to go south and just embrace the green. And yeah, we had I'm not going to say it was a stellar day, but we caught several big fish in like places where it was like almost carpet. It looked like you could get out of the boat and walk on it. And there were still fish there. There's a Even when it gets carpet like that, I mean, I kind of do a test, and if it's like if I can swirl my rod in the in through that really green thick stuff and it looks like black underneath it, then it's fine. And a lot of times it's just up near the surface, and then you're good to go. You can't see a follow, so you better make good figure eights on every cast, but the fish will be there underneath it.
I'll agree on that.
Yeah, and then if it seems like it's like all the way through the water column, down and you just got no vis at all, and it's like saturated, then that's not a good thing. But you're really all you can only just go to different areas and just kind of check it, and go to different areas and check it. And that's one thing I've always done. If I go to fish the Muskie Cup, and I mean, a lot of times I only have just the day before maybe to just get in the boat and a couple hours to go run around, and I'll go and just check water color and clarity as much as I can through different areas. And then lots of times that's just what I'm gonna base my starting spots on.
Yeah, I
So
mean, one thing about Lake of the Woods is there's so many muskies in it. And if you, it's more so finding this time of year, I found finding the right water that you feel comfortable fishing and then just fish what looks good. There'll be fish. You know,
right, yeah.
versus fighting something that you have confidence in, but the fish aren't there because the water got too green. And I mean, one thing I found too, like during that, when the water is a little greener there, those fish do push up. It seems like pretty shallow for some reason. Maybe it's because they can't see as good, so they want to get somewhere where, they can see the surface and all around them and not have to really worry about chasing stuff. It's more of an ambush type of situation,
And I found that exact same thing. Yeah, they'll really in that in the thickest stuff, they'll push right up underneath it. And I think that's a light penetration deal, where they can actually see in it. And maybe the water might be a little more with wave action, gets a little more oxygenated in that stuff. Whatever the case may be, but they certainly will push right up. As opposed to like. Right now in the areas that are clear, I'm finding fish that are near main lake structure, but a lot of times they're off of it. They'll move on. They're moving on and off of it a lot. They're on it at peak moon phases, and then they're off again.
Yeah, that's.
Sunset, sunrise will be on, and then they're off again. So you can go and fish the same spot over and over throughout the day, and one time there's going to be a fish there, and then you go back to try and get that fish, and it's not the right time, and it's not like you won't even see a fish. So,
Yeah, it's I'm noticed I've noticed that a lot this year on Eagle too. And I mean, I think some of it is just like Eagle has been a skoch colder all year than what it typically normally is. And I just feel like the fish are a little bit more comfortable down just a little deeper because that surface temp is a little bit more volatile, right? And they've been the kind of that next step down all year until things are right, and then they slide up. And then when things aren't right, they push back off. And it's been kind of that it's been, I mean, through and through this year, I would say it's been, I've said it time and time again, probably the most challenging season I've experienced. Fishing's still been good. I've caught some really big fish, but it's you're having to keep your head on a swivel every day just to kind of, be successful because what you saw yesterday does not mean the same thing tomorrow or today, you know?
No, I agree with that, and that's how it's been like that on Lake of the Woods as well here too. It's you really gotta kind of bide your time, fish good spots at the right times, because you're not going to get lots of shots. It seems like it's going to be they're very catchable if when you're in those moments, but the windows are small. They're sh you know they're short.
And I think, I
And
mean, and not to cut you off, but I think a lot of that too is, not that it's been an abnormal year, but there's a lot of, more, I'm sure you're seeing on Lake of the Woods, there's a lot more people up in Canada fishing in the last year and this year. So these fish are seeing a lot more baits, they're getting a lot more pressure. I mean, ultimately, we're dealing with smarter fish, you know?
Oh no, it's true. I mean, I don't used to be able to go out there and you'd be like, oh gee, there's actually somebody else out here musky fishing this area, and now it's you pretty much don't go to an area without seeing at least a couple of boats around. So these fish, and I mean, it doesn't, even on a lake as big as Lake of the Woods, it doesn't take long for guys to hone in on what points seem to get the most boat traffic on them, right? So
For sure. What as far as what's going on right now, what's kind of been your go-to, normal pattern, your hot baits. You don't have to, you don't have to give out all the details, but kind of just, what's been your go-to selection as far as, catching fish, seeing fish, that type of stuff.
I keep it pretty basic in my boat. I'm having the front guy throwing blades pretty much the whole time. Smaller blades have kind of been the deal for most of the summer. I've had a few times where bigger, tens will get some attraction, but for the most part, it's been 8-9s or 8s or even 7s some days. So I usually kind of start in that 8-9 range and go up or down, and depending on what I've been seeing, if we're moving some fish, might go to some bigger blades and see if we can trigger a strike that way, or if they're following, but following far behind. Sometimes going down to a smaller size will get you a bite. And then following that up with I'm a big jerk bait guy, so I like having a jerk bait going. flat-sided cranks, same, working them in that kind of same, pull pause fashion. That's been getting some getting it done on at times. I like throwing those if it's really, really windy. Just easier to keep the bait down than working a Suic or something like that. Just kind of play the conditions. And then there's these fish that are have been hanging deep all year, and so you're throwing rubber at those guys, tubes and bulldogs, so.
Yeah, same. So I mean, it's now with the fall coming up here, we're still like Eagle right now. I would say it the water's actually warmer right now than it was like the whole month of August. I would say like we had 70 degree water today, where I would say the whole month of August I had 66 to 68 degree water for almost that whole month sustained. So we're kind of, I'm sure you saw it too, like we had last week and the week before, we had a couple really cool evenings there, and it kind of triggered like a false fall, and some of these fish instantly moved to like a pre-turnover phase where a lot of fish just bailed and they went off the edge. Well, now it's starting to warm back up here, and now there's some fish kind of starting to slide shallow, and I'm kind of predicting with the next cool down we get, we're going to get a lot of fish pulling back up and going shallow here. And like this September is kind of a month where I still fish a lot of rocks and main lake stuff, but where I start to really focus on like shallow weeds and stuff like that. It seems like a lot of the big fish will squirrel up in the really shallow stuff when nobody's really harassing them. Are the weeds still a player when it starts to cool down, or do they die on Lake of the Woods really quick and then you're kind of shifting more to current and rock type stuff?
Well, I mean, our weeds grow in really, because it's darker water, they're always just in the in shallow water. This year we've got low water, so there is really not a lot of area up on my portion of the lake. Now, the Nestor Falls, Savascong Bay air portion of the lake, there's a lot more weed growth in that area. And so I would expect fish, there's going to be more fish in weeds in that portion of the lake. The north end of the lake doesn't have a lot of vast weed growth. It's more just little pockets of cabbage, right in the, the tight little areas. And with the low water, there's just not a lot of, it's just go to sort of that real fringe edge there that the odd one's going to hold some fish, but sand beaches will hold fish. At this time of year, they'll get into that. So there's always kind of that, there's like a divergence. There'll be some that are real shallow and the rest of them all bail off into the deep water pretty much.
Yeah, we don't really have that complexity of the, we don't have sand on Eagle everywhere, and I've seen it at times where you literally throw a bait, flop it on the sand and reel it in the water, and yet a muskie eats your bait on Lake of the Woods. It's pretty crazy how they love the sand out there. We don't have that here, obviously. It's but no, it with the next cool down here, we'll see how things kind of react to them, but I'm predicting some fish to finally come off the deeper stuff and pull up shallow. Now there's always going to be deep fish, but that's if I can avoid fishing the deep ones, I will, just because of I feel it's easier on the fish, and it's a different style of fishing when you're deeper, right? It's slower fishing. It's you can't just pound a bank at a troll motor on six or seven and just cover water, right?
Right. Well, I'll end up doing both all the time. I like to just fish what's in front of me, and if it's a deep point and we fish that, and then I'm going around the corner and okay, we're switching baits and now we're in 6 feet to 0 0 to 6 feet of water going through the next section, right?
Yeah.
So fish what's there, and that's what's great about Lake of the Woods is that you can just in such a short period of time and short areas and throughout the whole lake, you can just keep going deep shallow, deep shallow, deep shallow until you hit what's the flavor of the day, or what, maybe not even what the flavor of the day is for the fish, but what you end up figuring out and being able to duplicate and having some success with.
To kind of in a roundabout way to summarize what we've been kind of beating around the bush here for the last 15 minutes is, it's a time of change coming here real rapidly. But that's not going to change until we get, some cooler evenings, obviously. So, but it's something, for guys that are coming up here in the near future, to kind of keep a close watch on. If we start getting the nighttime lows into the, high 30s, 40s, low 50s, these fish are gonna start to move and start shift to like a pre-turnover, turnover type deal, because even though the I feel, what I say is that like pre-turnover, turnover, the water temp might not say it, but the time of year is saying it to these fish. And they know they have to do it. So they're going to stage and set up very nearby a lot of this stuff. You know what I mean? It's
No,
inevitable.
I.
It's inevitable. It's a seasonal movement. They have to do it. They are going to do it. And let's face it, there is no regular anymore. You can't say September 20th, a lake's going to turn, like you used to be able to. You can't. You don't know anymore. But the fish are still doing a lot of these movements, even though the water temp is not reflecting their movements. Like you used to, I always used to base a lot of the fish movements off of what the water temp was. Well, that's really not the case anymore. You're seeing these fish making these movements when the water's typically warmer than what it's, especially September, October. We don't get a normal cool down anymore. We get this little cold snap in the middle to late end of August, and then September turns into summer again. You know what I mean?
And over the last number of years, we've had like a winter blast October, and then it gets gets hot again. So the water temperatures are up and down, but you're absolutely right. It's the photo period that's starting to trigger these movements,
100%.
and days are getting shorter, and the fish know that, they sense that. So you kind of just gotta go with that, and be versatile. That's the biggest thing that I always try and put out there is don't get locked into thinking that this is the way it should be. You gotta be versatile. You gotta keep all the options open, and just roll
100
and fish stuff.
100%. I know people come up here, especially with past experience. Well, I was here last year at this time, and this is how we caught them. And they want to catch them that way. So they fight it time and time again, and they fish the same spots with the same baits with little to no success. And, like I always tell people, when you come up here, especially if you're new to Lake of the Woods or if you're new to Eagle, pick one basin. Don't jump all around the whole lake and think you're going to figure it all out. Pick one basin and figure that particular area out. Figure what the fish are doing in that basin. Now, there's times where if you have knowledge of the lake, you can roll into one basin and it's not happening. You can bounce into another one and it's lights out, it's on fire. So there's that too. But if you're new to the lake, pick one area and get to know it very well, because there's fish, in every basin, and every basin fishes a little bit differently, right? So like, for instance, like up in Vermilion Bay right now, the water's a little green because the weeds are starting to die. Vermilion Bay has a huge massive weed beds. Well, the weeds are starting to die. The water's a little green. Those fish are generally shallower. And I'm fishing a lot of shallow rock, shallow points, shallow humps, and what remaining green weeds I can find there. I'm throwing, top waters, bucktails, jerk baits, that type of stuff. I'm fishing more of, you know, what I would say a summer pattern, even though it's September, but the reason the fish are there is because the water's green. And we just talked about earlier, it's a, you know, a sight visibility window deal. So they're kind of forced to go shallow. Now you
Yep.
run to the western side of the lake or down south, well, the water's still really clear. A lot of those fish are, you know, out off the edge of stuff, and they'll slide, and they're making those daily movements up, you know, low light periods up on top of the rocks, and then they're kind of sliding out in that 10 to 15 foot range throughout the day. So it just kind of depends where you're staying at on these lakes and how you're going to be fishing them, right? So, like on the southern part of the lake, I'm throwing, for the most part, I'm throwing, you know, a lot of deeper crankbaits, like triple D's, depth raiders, you know, my rubber, like tubes, you know, bulldogs, crosstails, that type of stuff, or really heavy weighted bucktails or big heavy spinner baits to fish that 10 to 14 foot column effectively. I'm not trying to fish the tops of things unless it's the right time with shallower running baits, because there's just very few fish up there right now.
And that's that's a hard thing. It's you know, everybody just, you know, they want to throw at the structure, right? And it's you know, that's the what you got to do sometimes is you got to keep your boat out deep and throw to the mid column stuff, or get right on top if it's, you know, if it's available, and throw out. You know, those are a couple of little things, that tricks that might put some fish in the boat for a few people at this time of year. So
Yeah, it's definitely a time of change coming, and you know, like one thing I can say is the minute we get a couple few cool nights, there's gonna be a lot of fish pushing up shallow into a lot of, like, you know, obviously the known musky areas are still always gonna be good, but this time of year I fish a lot of start fishing a, you know, once the cool down happens, a lot more of off the wall stuff, a lot of like little cup bays that have, you know, that green tobacco weed in it that seems to stay green a lot longer than, you know, the cabbage and all, like the stringy cabbage or whatever that stuff is. I don't even know the name of it, but that stuff starts to die and break off. But if you push in that next level, instead of fishing that outer edge, you push inside of that stringy stuff, you'll get that real green, like tobacco cabbage in these cup bays. And a lot of those fish, they squirrel up in them and nobody's harassing them. And they're pretty hot to trot. And that's, you know, one thing too, I'm sure you do it as well. You know, we're on the lake every day, you know, May to November. We're having to find new areas that the fish aren't receiving a lot of pressure. So, I mean, it pays to do a little exploring while you're out there too. You know, if you got one good musky spot here and another good musky spot there, well, how do you think they get between the two of them? They got to swim.
Yeah,
You know
that's
what
what
I
I
mean?
always
Now they
say
might.
too. They swim from here to there, so sometimes I gotta try and figure out where they go in between, right?
Exact. Now
So
they might not be as high as they might not be as high as percentage spots every time you fish them, but if you encounter those fish where they're not normally used to being harassed, I feel like that's a very you got a lot higher chance of them biting and engaging a bait. So and I mean a lot of it, like I call it just fishing traffic, right? You're running a strip of shoreline between two good musky spots and just hoping to encounter those fish traveling back and forth. And that, especially this time of year coming, there's going to be a lot of that because these fish are going to be making seasonal movements, right? Especially, you know, you get narrowings, you know, when you have big, massive bays where the weeds are starting to die, you know, you have a narrowing of the lake. Those are always really good focal points this time of year, because you know fish are migrating, making their way out, right, of the real shallow mucky stuff that's dying. They're making their way out, so you're gonna have fish coming out of that stuff. And like right now, a lot of the walleyes are making their way out of those shallower bays, so the muskies are right behind them, right?
Yeah, and there circles back to, being a versatile multi-species angler, and yeah, you keep track of where the walleyes are and where the walleyes are on the bait, and the muskies are on the bait and the walleyes, right?
Yeah, I
So,
mean,
yeah.
and that's one thing too that you just brought up. I mean, when I'm musky fishing, not only am I looking for muskies, obviously, but I'm always watching my graphs, and it's almost guaranteed the minute you start marking walleyes, you're gonna see muskies. And
Oh,
like if
yeah.
you're you're running, if you're say you're on a south shore of the lake and you're running it. And you fish two or three musky spots, you don't see any muskies, you don't see any walleyes. Well, I'll be goddamned if I'm gonna fish a fourth musky spot on that south end of the south side of the shore. I'm jumping to the opposite side of the basin because the walleyes aren't there. You know what I mean? So like stuff like that, and like wind direction this year, I don't even pay attention to it because it changes every day. So I'm not really focusing on which side of basins or structures to even fish because it's literally a different direction every day. So the fish are just they're constantly repositioning around that. It's forcing a guy to fish the whole structure now because one day they're on one side, the next day they're on the other, you know?
The wind is so variable here. The whole, gotta fish the windy points thing is, that might have been true yesterday, but today they're all on the calm side. Right? So, just gotta be open, versatile, cover water. look for your bait fish and prey fish species. And I love walleye fishing a day after I've been musky fishing, because you go along all day musky fishing, you're
Know
covering
where all
so
the
much
walleyes
water.
are.
Yeah, you know where all the
Oh,
walleyes
my.
are. You come over a little rise and you're like, oh, look at them stacked right there. And you're like, oh, dude, and I'll be coming back here in the morning with my guests.
And it's vice versa while you're walleye fishing. You have muskies chasing your walleyes around, right? So it's But no, that's all good stuff, Dave. I I appreciate your time, and I'm sure we'll be in touch, and we'll have another conversation here shortly at some point in time. And if I don't talk to you before then, I will be seeing you in a couple weeks, few weeks at the Muskie Cup. So,
Sounds real good, Danny. Yeah, I mean, anytime. Happy to come on and share a little bit and talk muskies. It's always great to talk to another great muskie angler that spends time on a different body of water. And I any all the information you can gather and put together is always helpful. And yeah, no, just had great talking to you, and we'll see you at Muskie Cup soon. And yeah, maybe we can get back on and give everybody a little report after the Muskie Cup.
sounds good, man.
All right, have a great night.
Yeah, you too.